that. Fold you with your legs back. Switch it like the doggies. Pull your hair, reveal your wig cap. That's the shit I've been on. Bust all on your skin tone. Always on that freak shit. Just call me when your man gone. Steady talking about how you gon' ride it like a pony. I'ma need you to come on over here and show me. Shot a Casamigo, got your body feeling haunted. Checking for your man, cause that nigga leave you lonely. Throw that ass back, let me show you who run it. Pulling out tricks, ain't nobody who done it. We ain't making love, we fucking, you love it. Nothing else on, just a condom in a bucket. Two gone off Patron, she got a man, it don't matter. Back shots got you in the mirror like, ooh, my ass getting fatter. Mind telling you wifey type, but the heart says for the streets though. Don't even bother hitting my line unless you flowing in free code. Bitch.
Alright, you rich motherfuckers. All eyes on me. If you even dare look at anyone else, I'm gonna whoop your ass like it's a slave trade. Start the music.
Bros before hoes, right? You badder than most, right? Million likes on one pose, right? Flew it out and that's goals, right? Pimp shit but no pinky ring. You pimp niggas, that's the crazy thing. LAX catch your red eyes, you hovering over anything. HOE, who you know? Bunch of Hermes bags and a Van Cleef go. Gucci here wetter than an H2O. With an OnlyFans link and a gram bio. Other hoes ain't seeing you and you know it. Cash App, Zelle, Ching Ching and you loaded. Face card never decline, you glowing. Look at you, baby, so fly, you flowing. Hoes left of me, hoes right. Hoes with me the hoes. Whole night, hoe don't gotta be a bad thing. We all got a little hoe inside. Different area codes worth the ludicrous. From the big cities to Wyoming. Love them all but can't lock them down, cause these hoes be hoeing. Oh,
bitches in the club, let me see you dance. 20, 50, 100 Benjis, throw it round. Bad bitches in the club, let me see you dance. 20, 50, 100 Benjis, throw it all around. Bad bitches in the club, let me see you dance. 50s, 100 Benjis, throw it round. Bad bitches in the club, let me see you bounce. 20, 50s, 100 Benjis, throw it all around. Bad bitches in the club, let me see you bounce.
Niggas be fucking everything, but the minute I talk to one or two guys, all of a sudden I'm a hoe. Now fuck that, I'ma use what I got to get what I want, and that's that. Argue with your mama, like fuck that. I don't care about none of these niggas. I'm getting to the money. ATM, all the money.
20, 50, 100 Benjis, throw it all around.
Yeah. What's good? It's your boy Hollywood. This is Hollywood and Friends. Thank you for tuning in, however you're tuning in. I appreciate you. Be sure to follow me on social media at I Am Hollywood, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. Follow me on TikTok if you're over there while it's still here, if it don't get banned. So at I Am Hollywood NY. Follow my producer Stacy at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see us and not just hear us, head over to youtube.com/HamptonBlue. If it's your first time tuning in, what we get into over here is what's hot in the blogs for this week. You know, the stories that may have had you arguing with somebody in the comment section on Instagram. If you into that kind of thing, we chopping it up about stories that had us all in the chokehold for the week. I'll let y'all know what we're going to chopping it up about for this week. Amanda Seales did this interview with Shannon Sharp on Club Shay Shay. Club Shay Shay is seeming like the go-to show for people. Is growing in its popularity, and it is the talk of the blogs because of various topics that's been discussed on there. But one of the biggest things is Amanda and her self diagnosis of being on the autism spectrum, and it's kind of got everybody with a opinion about it, and it's a lot happening. We're gonna chop it up about that. Also, Megan Thee Stallion is being sued yet again. Is a new lawsuit, this time by a former photographer of hers, who's accusing her of some things, including some having some relations with a woman next to him in a car, something about not allowing him to get out the car. And he was like forced to watch and he's mortified. All of this stuff is going on in this lawsuit. And we're going to chop it up about it. TikTok, the ban is officially on the table unless the parent company ByteDance sell it. They got 1 year to do so. And I've been wondering ever since this ban was passed, or this bill was passed, whether TikTok is even in the market to sell. And we got an update. TikTok has responded to the lawsuit and what they feel is going to be the next course of action. We're chopping it up about that. What else? Also, Tennessee just passed a law aiming to arm teachers in schools, in classrooms. And is that the solution? Is what we're going to be talking about today. We got what blows mine a little bit later, but we're going to kick it off how we always do. And that's with the question of the week. This week's question of the week is, once the police are called, is it a wrap in a relationship? Once the police are called, is it a wrap? Is that like a deal breaker? Does that officially cross the line? I got a response from Instagram. Miss Fearless 2020 said, it depends on the reason. It's interesting. For me personally, I feel like in any relationship, if the cops are being called, it's never a good thing. It's never a good sign unless y'all are calling the police as a unit, as a group on someone else. I don't see how calling the police on your partner for any reason is a sign that y'all are good to maintain this relationship further. Once you reach the point of picking up that phone and dialing 911 on your partner, the toxicity is at an all-time high at that point. It's something going on that you felt the need to involve the police. So I say, yes, it's a wrap if that ever comes to that point. And y'all should want it to be a wrap too. Like, whether you're calling it on the person or they're calling it on you, how you maintain a relationship with somebody after that? Like, I don't see it. I don't see it continuing on. If I get any more responses throughout the show, I will read them. But we're going to get ready to get into what's hot in these blogs. All right, what we kicking it off with this week, what's hot in these blogs. Let's talk about Amanda Seales and this interview she did with Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp. Club Shay Shay is becoming like the go-to platform now, is growing in popularity. I heard the Cat Williams interview is the most viewed interview on YouTube ever. Like, that's major. And so people want a piece of that. People want a piece of that network, I guess. But yeah, all jokes aside, people go to Shannon Sharp for that show and they want to, you know, get some things off their chest or whatever. Amanda Seales put out this, like, what you would call it, like a call out. In a sense, I forget how long ago she did it, but she said she would love to go on the Shannon Sharp show, Club Shay Shay. She felt it would be good for the culture, for her career, or just, you know, to move it forward, etc. And so they made it happen. I watched pieces of the interview because the thing is like 3 hours long. And I'm like, what? Like, why is this so long? Over 3 hours long. So I watched, I think the combination of videos I've watched probably equates to over an hour, maybe like an hour and a half of the interview. I got to finish the rest. But what I'm talking about today is the parts that I did actually see. One of them being the part where Amanda revealed that she was diagnosed with autism. And when I first seen it, it felt like this was like a self diagnosis type of situation. She mentioned something about taking a test, when you took the test, and I never thought that she actually got diagnosed by a doctor or clinician. It felt like it was a self-diagnosis, but a lot of people took that as she was diagnosed from a doctor. So now when it was revealed, I think maybe like the next day or something, that it wasn't by a doctor and it was a self-diagnosis, people began to go in on Amanda and, yeah, that happens. So a lot of it, I think a lot of it have to do with, for some reason, there's this like hate train for Amanda Seales. And I'm not sure exactly like when it began, et cetera, but I feel like most of the people who are upset that she was self-diagnosed with autism are ones that already was on this hate train. And this just gave them more ammo to be able to like go in on her. I don't know what stop they got on this train, but they've been on this train and now here we are. And they are like, see, you are the problem. Like that's how it feels to me. I feel like, I don't think it's like such a huge deal in terms of the whole like being like self-diagnosed or whatever. I feel like, I don't know, like doctors to determine if someone is autistic, there's no test, there's no like blood test or anything you can do to determine if a child or anyone is autistic. They usually go based off the developmental history and the behavior of the person. So I feel like a test, as long as it's from like a reputable source where it'll provide you a series of questions based off of your history and answering these questions, if it determines that you may fall on the spectrum of autism, I don't see what's the big deal about that. I feel it is a spectrum at the end of the day. I don't think any two autism diagnoses are the same per se. And it doesn't have to be the most extreme case of autism for you to be on that spectrum. So I don't see what everybody's up in arms about, really. But I actually looked it up too. I looked up these tests. They have these, I looked up two of them. And both of them have like 30 questions on them. Autism spectrum quotient. And they all have like 30 questions on them. Some of the questions, like, I prefer to do things with others rather than on my own. And you choose whether you agree or disagree. Another question is, I prefer to do things the same way over and over again. Another one is, I frequently get so absorbed in one thing that I lose sight of other things. It's a bunch of different questions that you know you go through. You choose, you agree, you disagree. And at the end, they give you the score. And then you determine from that score based on their chart whether you may be on the spectrum or not. And it's not meant to be like an official diagnosis. You know, some people may take this test and then that may inspire them to actually go see a doctor, an actual doctor to, you know, see for sure. But I feel like a test online is not like such a horrible thing. I don't feel like Amanda is being attacked fairly based off the fact that she took a test and feels she's on the spectrum. At the end of the day, the doctors are just going to do probably something similar. They're probably going to ask you a series of questions, and based on your responses, they're going to determine, okay, yeah, you are not. They just got a degree to be able to officially say it. So I don't really see no difference, but that's who we are with Amanda Seales and her self-diagnosis of this. But yeah, that interview was a lot. A lot of people was going in on Shannon Sharp based off of, it felt like it was a lot of undermining her, anything she said, whether it was her feeling like her teacher in the past was racist, whether her feeling like the kids in her school was racist based off things they said to her or did to her. And Shannon was like, it felt like always like questioning the motives behind these people and kind of like making excuses for them almost. And so a lot of people was feeling a way about that. Like, damn, like, can you let her have her experience? Like, and mind you, Amanda, she has like a degree in this field. So she, I think more than anyone, would understand what that would look like, what dealing with the behaviors of someone as it pertains to like racism, et cetera, would look like. So I get the blowback that Shannon got responding to Amanda the way he did and everything she was saying. But ultimately, it seemed like they got to a good space in this interview. It seemed like it started off one way, but it ended up, you know, they seemed cool. But then once the interview aired and the internet started interneting, and also some of the promo videos that Club Shay Shay put out, Amanda took issue with as well. Some of the headlines they put on some of the promo videos. So I think it's safe to say she won't be calling Shannon up for lunch anytime soon or anything like that. But hey, you wanted to go on the show, so here we are. This is where we at with it. But yeah, that was hot in the blogs for this week. We're going to move on. What else hot in the blogs for this week? Megan Thee Stallion. It seems like lawsuits are the new come up these days. Everybody and their mothers filing lawsuits. And I'm just wondering, are the lawyers who are taking these suits, are like, is it like low? Because I thought it cost a good amount of money to file lawsuits. Like, are these lawyers taking it pro bono just because of the high profile individuals, like in hopes that, you know, is it where you don't got to pay unless we win for you? Because it's so many lawsuits being filed. And I'm just wondering, these people must got bread to just throw out there, because there's never a guarantee that you're going to win what you're suing for. But here we are. We got another lawsuit on our hands. This time is at the hands of a photographer that Megan used to work with. And he has a lot of accusations in this lawsuit. He says that Megan called him out his name, called him a fat B-I-T-C-H, told him at times to spit his food out, told him he don't need to be eating. These are things that he's alleging in this lawsuit. He's accusing her of creating a hostile work environment. He's accusing her of harassment. And he's pointing out an incident that happened in Ibiza where he says that Megan and him was in an SUV with two or three other women. And he said Megan began having relations with one of the women while he was sitting there, and I guess he feels forced to watch, and it was like so traumatic or something. I don't know. When I read this, it felt like, and I should point out that he no longer works for Megan. He was actually terminated, and it feels like this is like a retaliation type of thing, because he was terminated. And I don't know, the words they're using to describe how he felt while Megan was allegedly having these relations with this woman next to him, it was screaming like the way a Karen would drag a complaint out. Like, it was like horrifying, and the way a Karen would make a phone call and drag it out just so the cops could get there by any means necessary, it kind of feels like that's what's happening here. Like, you got to say the most outrageous things to make it, I don't know, seem outrageous. I don't know. That's just how I felt reading how he was describing that incident. And yeah, it just felt like a retaliation thing. And Megan's lawyer actually responded to this complaint. And I'm gonna read exactly what he said. He said, "This is an employment claim for money with no sexual harassment claim filed and with salacious accusations in an attempt to embarrass her. We would deal with this in court." Alex Spiro is Megan's lawyer, and that's their response. And I could see it, it being an employment claim for money, and he just throwing that other stuff in there. But it's like, you in a, that, I mean, to each his own, you may not be into that kind of thing. And even if you're not, I feel like, unless you're just like super like religious or just a prude, I don't feel like you would really feel that much of a way somebody getting it in right next to you, like in a car. You might be shocked, like, yo, y'all wilding, like, what y'all doing? But to feel such a way that is like giving you the ick, like, I don't know. It just feels like something's not, the math ain't mathing over here with that. He's being represented by the same lawyer who is representing the dancers that was accusing Lizzo recently of harassment, hostile work environment. Apparently that's his thing. He deals with like employee issues. So here we are. And we'll see how this plays out. As I mentioned, Megan is denying the allegations. And we'll see what happens. I think it's just a play, attempt to get some of that money back after being terminated. That's how I feel. Let's move on. Next, what's hot in these blogs? TikTok. We spoke about this last week. The bill to ban TikTok has officially passed in Congress, and President Biden has signed it, which now gives ByteDance, the parent company, exactly 1 year to sell it, find a new owner, AKA sell it to the US, or risk being banned from all platforms, all apps, stores, etc. And when this first happened, I heard that they were actually bidders already, ready. Like, I think even Soulja Boy was even like, how much y'all want for it? I'll buy it, because he's against them banning it or whatever. So I heard there's buyers on the market ready to buy it. But I'm thinking, like, is TikTok even in the market to sell? Or will they just be like, I'm out of here, cut their ties? And an attempt to make the people, the users of the app, the ones who feel the most way about it, to make them feel resentment towards the government for banning it. And I don't know, I may be a little right here, because they have said that they have no plans to sell the app. They posted a message on Taotai, or Tutao, is a Chinese social media service that they own, and they was saying that ByteDance has no plans to sell TikTok, and they rather just have it be banned. But at the same time, they are fighting it. They planning to take it to court and appeal this whole situation. The CEO, Shaozi Chu, he posted a video on TikTok, and he said, the facts and the Constitution are on our side. He added that TikTok expects to prevail again, because this is not the first attempt at banning or blocking TikTok. Montana filed a thing to get them banned a few months ago, back in November, and that was blocked by a federal judge. This is a little different than that, but TikTok feels the same way they came out on top in that one, that they will come out on top in this one as well. Yeah. Someone said the algorithm of TikTok is the value and not the users. Lawmakers passed the ban law out of concern over ByteDance ties to China, including fear that ByteDance or TikTok could share data about US users with China's government. And ByteDance always said that they would never do that. And they put in extra steps to, like, you know, safeguard people's information and privacy. But who knows what the real deal is? I think even more than it being banned for them being them possibly selling or sharing user data, I feel like just having control over what shows on the app, you know, speaking of, like this person said, the algorithm, they have the ability to, you know, surface certain things more than others. I know there's a lot of Gen Z, that generation that occupy TikTok, and they learn a lot of information from TikTok. I've literally seen comments from people like, I've learned more on TikTok than I did in school, which is a little crazy, but a lot of people are learning a lot of things from TikTok, and it could be good and bad, because the same way there is factual things, there's a lot of things that may not be true, that may not be proven. And information is information, be it good or bad. And too much of it could be harmful, especially if it's not the correct information. So I think a lot of these apps should do more in combating that. They do a good job at banning things that, or blocking and removing videos that probably shouldn't be removed. They really should focus on weeding out misinformation. I think that's a bigger issue when it comes to TikTok, because it is addictive. I know some people who spend hours and hours, and it's just swipe, swipe, swipe. And the way the algorithm works, the algorithm is going to show you what they think you like to watch. So if you watch three videos on the war, they're going to say, oh, you know what? This person likes this. I'm going to feed them. Every time they open this app, it's going to be something regarding this war. Whatever it is you're watching, whether it's bunnies, puppies, cats, whatever it is, they're going to show you more of that because they think that's what you want to see. So you could get lost and you could go down this rabbit hole of information. And if you're just taking it for face value, what you're seeing, and not doing your own research outside of the app to determine truths from untruths, it could be a problem. So for that reason, I feel like there should be, like, you know, some kind of regulation, but the U.S. feels is about data and sharing data with China. But we'll see. I will say, I want to add that this, aside from the war that's happening, this TikTok ban now is definitely, I feel, hurting Biden. And in terms of this election, it being an election year, we are just a few months out from voting. And I think if he didn't lose the young people before, I feel like the people who feel a way about this TikTok ban and the way that social media is reporting it as if it, you would think it was like Biden's bright idea, I think they really on some, like, I ain't voting for this man. Like, he took TikTok away? Like, what? It's just, it's a bad time. It's really a bad time. It's really a bad time for this election. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this is gonna play out. Someone pointed out Trump tried to ban it and it would have been worse. Now he says no ban. Absolutely, he definitely did. He definitely tried to ban it. And in true Trump fashion, he sees now the reactions and just to be the op, right? I said this a few weeks ago, he's the ultimate op. Just to be the op, the fact that Biden's administration and everybody's like on board with the ban, he want to be against the ban. And his goal is to get these people who feel a way that is banned to get them to maybe vote for him instead. And I don't know, the way these minds are these days and how gullible and how easily influenced people are, it may just work. It may just work. It may just work. He may just grab them people. Scary. Scary times. All I can say is yikes. But yeah. I think that's it for that. We're going to move on. Last but not least, what's hot in these blogs? This time, this is going to tie into my what blows for the week. And is this new law that was just passed in Tennessee, this new bill that's going to allow teachers to carry guns in public schools. And when looking into this bill, I've learned that this is not the first time. Tennessee actually is now the 34th state to allow teachers to carry guns with administrator approval and some training. You know, a lot of bills and stuff pass when we're not looking, when we're like debating about whether TikTok should be banned or not. Like, a lot of bills like this are being passed. I did not know all these other states have a similar thing in play. And we know the reason is because gun violence is an issue here in this country. Mass shootings are a big issue here in this country, more than anywhere else. And so whenever one happens, a lot of people run to, like, you know, try to get some kind of gun reform, you know, try to call for like stricter background checks and, you know, just to try to make it a little harder, because it seems too easy to get a weapon these days. So this is the lawmakers, I guess they feel the answer to arm the teachers. It's like you rather arm teachers versus addressing the reason you feel they need to be armed in the first place, which is, it's kind of wild. Like, who's to say that this is gonna work? Like, you got, there's been over, I want to say last year in 2023, it was over 600 mass shootings. 38 of them were in a school. This year alone has been over 100, I want to say, I've read, and 13 of them has been involving schools. And the bills, they're kind of mixed. You got, obviously, you know who's going to be for it, and then you got people who are against it. I don't know. It's, I don't think it's the answer at all, because anything could happen when you have incidents like this that takes place. You could have a student who now could take the gun from the teacher or something one day. Like, it's a lot of like things that could go wrong with this. Also, training. There's training that should be involved in this. I want to say they said something about they are required to have like 40 hours of training. And you have this guy named Kenneth Trump, who is the president of National School Safety and Security Services. They're a consulting firm that works with schools on security strategies. And he said that there is political optimism here. He said, but he doesn't believe 40 hours is enough time to appropriately train teachers to respond in a school shooting. And I agree. That's a week. 8 hours a day for a week. And that's supposed to be enough time for them to be able to move and shake in a live situation. I feel like what would be a better response instead of just arming teachers because they took a week long video class and some went to the gun range, I think they should maybe put more security in the schools, like hire more armed security guards. That way is like concentrated to people who actually, you know, are trained officially to handle situations like this. They are generally the ones at the front line of the schools. Like they're generally at the entrances and stuff like that. Like maybe do that versus putting the guns in the teachers' hands. Lawmakers argue that preventing districts from publicly disclosing who has a gun reduces the risk that someone taking a gun from an armed staff member and use it to hurt others. So basically, what I just read means that they won't disclose who has the weapons, like which teachers has it, but that's not really a thing. That's not really a issue in my eyes. I don't think that would make a difference, honestly. Yeah. So that guy, Kenneth Trump, who I just spoke about, who is the National School Safety, the president of the National School on Safety and Security Services, he said it speaks to the root problem with the whole concept. He said, on one hand, we don't want to tell everybody who has the gun. On the other end of it, how do you know there's also supervision, accountability, and good oversight? You don't. Yeah, I don't know. This ain't really it. There was a high schooler, her name's Ava. She at a protest on April 15th, she said, we don't want this fantasy of lawmakers of somebody coming into our school and some teacher hero with a gun to solve that issue. Some people feel that teachers need supplies, not guns. That part. Someone said more guns to cure violence has never been the issue. Gun regulation is the answer. That part. Because that's in a nutshell, essentially what y'all doing. Y'all just putting more guns out there. Like, That's not the answer here. It's like, we recognize there's a problem, but we're gonna arm more people to take care of that problem if it arises, or when it arises, I should say, because it's inevitable in the United States of America. It's not it. But yeah, what y'all think? Is this the answer? Arming teachers? Should this be? Or how do y'all feel the United States should go about this? Let me know. But yeah, that is going to conclude what's hot in the blogs for this week. Thank you for listening. However you're listening. Be sure to follow me on social media at @IAmHollywood, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And before they ban TikTok, at @IAmHollywoodNY. Follow my producer Stacy at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see us and not just hear us, hit up youtube.com/HamptonBlue. Subscribe to the channel, go through, like some of the videos. There's a lot of new content over there. And yeah, same time next week, Let's do this. Thank you for listening. However you're listening, I appreciate you. And we out. Deuces.
Let me show you off, take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. We could go to Paris, let me show you the lavish. Ain't no need to pack, we can shout where we landed. Get you well established, upgrading your status. Then we hit the Eiffel for dinner when you famished. We could go to Spain, Barcelona, Señorita. I'll show you a buen momento. And we don't gotta rush a thing, despacito. Just wanna spend my time contigo, tigo.
So I'm a one, true beauty, and it's not the finest thing all around the world. No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be me. So I'm a one, true beauty, and it's not the finest thing all around the world. No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be me.
Come on now, let me show you all. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Take you on a cruise to the carnival, Barbados, crop over yo,
yeah.
Or Trinidad, Tobago too. We got island hop like we kangaroos. We could go to Jamaica, hit Ocho Rios, lounge with the locals, eat like the people. Hey. Island tings, one punch in mojito, then watch the sunset from a gazebo. Zebo.
Coast to coast, Grand Bahama, hey. Jamaica, the land of water. She take a full line for me marijuana. Yeah. She then yard, she know I'm creating a drama. Hey. No. African queen girl, take a trip in my ride. Your body clean like this, bro. Let me take your pan to a girl.
What you mean you just got this passport? She only got one stamp in it. Let's change that.
So I'm a walk.
Come on now, let me show you off. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Hey.